I love everything that I do, and everything that I do does stem from me having to use my voice, not just physically opening my mouth and making vibration and making sound, but actually saying the things that are true for me. And in order to do that, you have to know what's true for you, right? It's been a long journey of like self-discovery and self-mastery, where I'm having to like peel away my own conditioning, whether it was from the church or from my parents or from, you know, generations of oppressive systems like patriarchy and like racism and sexism, and find out what is true for me. And for me, what's true is I value myself and I value the relationships that I have. And overall, I just really want us to like live peacefully so that we can tap into our gifts and we can tap into creativity and we can tap into pleasure and joy and all those wonderful, delicious, yummy things that light us up and make us feel good.
Welcome to Cosmic RX Radio, a podcast that gives you real-life tools of spiritual empowerment and pure hype. I'm your host and intuitive guide, Maddie Murphy. I'll be serving up your weekly energy readings, cosmic boss interviews, and astro inspiration. Are you ready to love yourself more, manifest your dream life, and own your magic? Let's jump in.
Hello, my cosmic baddies. Today on the podcast, we have another guest, another cosmic changemaker, a soon-to-be spiritual bestie, and one of our own coming on, one of our own cosmic baddies. We have Dané Rial, who is a queer, brown, unpartnered mother, traditional birth worker, wait for this, sexual wellness educator, liberation activist, artist, and musician. Do you see why when I saw their bio, I was like, get your butt on the podcast. So much medicine, so much wisdom. And she really takes great pleasure in helping people peel away the learned layers of sexual shame and really how to connect deep into their creative erotic energy through vocal liberation, embodiment, and mastery of self-expression. And through the lenses of ancestral medicine, decolonized nonviolence, reproductive justice, and indigenous wisdom, Dané integrates her own spiritual and energetic gifts to help clients remember and connect to their authentic selves. And she is such a gift. Just going through her website and her Instagram, I felt such an uplifting. I felt so much celebration from so many ancestors. And I know this podcast is going to just light up and help so many of you. So welcome to the podcast, your new spiritual bestie, Dané. Hi.
Hey, Maddie. Way to make me cry so early in the episode.
That's what I'm all about. My Pisces moon is like, I'm crying. Join the party.
I know. We're all going to be crying by the end of this, okay? Thanks for having me. It's such a pleasure and such an honor. I'm just so excited to talk to you today.
Oh, this is going to be a treat. This is going to be a fun one. I can just tell. I just read your Earth bio. We'll get into more about your work, but would you mind telling the baddies what we got to know, your cosmic bio, your big three?
I'm an Aries sun, Leo moon, Cancer rising.
And that is why we're going to be crying a lot, okay? Because she gets that fire, but the yes. Cancer rising is just the filter through everything.
Exactly.
I'm so excited to like talk more about that and how it's really come out in your self-expression, and your chart is just so fun to match it against your work and your very multidimensional work you do. So why don't we just let you talk for one moment about like your work in the world? How do you talk about it? Because again, you have, that was the bio I read, but I'm sure there's even more to expand upon there.
For folks listening, my name is Dané Rial. My pronouns are she and they. I'm an unpartnered parent, which basically just means that I don't have another partner that I parent my child with. I have an 11-year-old daughter, but I don't like to call myself a single parent because I have been really fortunate enough to raise my child amongst community and amongst a village of chosen family, friends, extended family, and our village just continues to grow. And so I never really feel like I'm doing it alone. And so that's why it's an important distinction for me to make when I introduce myself, because I think people tend to hear like single mom and they think, oh, poor her, you know, and it's like, I'm really taking an empowered approach to parenthood by choosing to raise my child amongst loved ones especially because I am so busy, you know, I'm the multidimensional mommy. So yes. I'm always doing something. I'm also a birth worker. I've been a birth mm-hmm. worker. I've worked as a childbirth educator and birth doula for the last 11 years. And I got into that after I gave birth to my daughter at a very young age. And I just felt like the need to support other women and femmes and birthing people in their journeys. But more recently, my work has shifted a lot into vocal liberation. And what that entails for me is just learning how to use my voice, learning how to acknowledge the value that my voice has and explore all the ways that I can use it in the world.
Oh, I love that. First of all, I love just everything you do is so intentional. It's so, the words, everything is a spell, obviously, and as someone who's guiding people to have more empowerment through their voice, I appreciate that just even in the way you choose to describe yourself and talk about things, there's such intentionality there. And I'm so intrigued and I'm so excited to talk about this work that you do specifically, you know, as a vocal liberation guide. Also, we didn't mention your bio, but you have a podcast. Just want to tell people, because I know you already got that good podcasting voice. People are going to want more of it. The Embodiment Project. But you also mentioned that you have a radio show too. Is that separate? How busy are you?
Yeah, it's hard to quantify at this point. But it's hard to like complain about it because I really feel like I'm doing things that are in alignment with my spirit. And so there's a lot, but it's all things I love. Yes, I have the Embodiment Project, which to be quite honest, I've taken a little break from recording new episodes. But you can go check out all my previous episodes. We have about 2 seasons and you'll find things, topics such as like ethical non-monogamy and sex work and lots of very taboo topics that I tackled in that project. And then the radio show, it's a community radio show that airs out of Boyle Heights in East LA. That one is called CMTY Live, Community Radio Live. And it's a community radio station that I co-host with my co-host Martel, and we talk to local artists, local, you know, community activists, and it's every second and fourth Monday night at 9 p.m. in LA, or you can stream it online.
Oh, I was saying before we clicked record, I was like, that was such like probably why I do this, but such a childhood dream of mine to have like a radio show, some co-host, maybe, you know, listeners calling in. Would you mind doing the little radio bit you did before we started clicking record? Because it was so good. I was like, I just want that for myself. I'm going to like edit that for me.
All right. What's up, y'all? This is Dani Real, the multidimensional mommy, coming to you live with Maddie Murphy from Cosmic RX Radio.
Oh, I love that. We got to like splice that in the beginning. It's so good. Okay, so this amazing voice that you have, and again, I appreciate your name, Multidimensional Mommy, because I think one of the reasons when I started this podcast, first of all, I'm very multidimensional, very multi-passionate. I was like, I'm going to have a podcast. I'm going to do an energy report every week. And then that's one thing I want to talk about because I need someone to talk about all this astrology with. But I also want to have people who are living in their purpose and what we can learn from them or who have medicine to share. And I also want to do solo episodes that are just about like coaching, even like in the podcast, which is like one of many other things I do. I'm also keeping it like very multi-passionate. And I think that my favorite types of people, when I first started doing interviews, I'm like, I don't care. I want every industry, every background, every identity represented. But I was like, they have to be someone who's doing the multi-life. I love the multi. The multis are my people. Because you keep things interesting. But I definitely see like this common through line, obviously, through all of your work, lots of work around obviously liberation. There's so much I want to talk to you about. Can we just talk about like the journey until before we get into like the vocal liberation work and the work that you're doing through your feeling music, which I'm so excited to tap into it. Obviously, we talk about sexual wellness education, being a liberation activist, all the work you're doing. There's like a step before even I feel like getting into the vocal liberation part that seems very tied into peeling away layers of shame or sexual trauma to even begin to connect into that. So, you know, I'm just more like mirroring what I see in your work, but can you tell us a little bit about what helped you connect the dots of all of this, why it's important, some of just anything you want to share on that in your words?
Yeah, definitely. So in order to kind of explain how I arrived to this place, it's important to know where I came from. And so my ancestors are Mexica people. They are the indigenous people of Mexico, in one portion of Mexico, far back as I've been able to trace them so far. And I'm a third generation Mexican American. So I was raised just east of East LA in a small suburb of East LA called Montebello, which means beautiful mountain. And it is there that was like my home base growing up. I moved around a lot. I had a lot of housing insecurity just because my parents were working class folks. They had a lot of their own financial traumas and things like that. And so we were just always moving around. I never quite felt at home because my home was constantly changing. And the only place I did feel at home was at school. I went to Catholic school for 12 years. My parents worked really hard to put me into private school, and I'm grateful, but obviously that comes with a lot of trauma too, and a lot of shame. That's actually the first place that I learned shame was in Catholic school and being part of the church. And so
I'm laughing, but I'm not trying to, but I'm like, yeah, that's it. That's the epicenter.
Yeah, there it is. That's where the wound originated. But something else that kind of got me through those times was music. Even though, you know, I was in this like love-hate relationship with the church, something that kept me coming back constantly was being part of the choir, being able to use my voice, being able to sing. And yeah, so that brought me a lot of comfort. And throughout the years, you know, I had a lot of situations with domestic violence, whether it was like my parents or my own romantic relationship. As I got older, I started to connect the dots and realize that like home wasn't necessarily a place, but it's a feeling that we have in ourselves. And for me, I was able to tap into that place through music, through meditation, through integrating a lot of the things that you talk about here on the show, you know, of like being in relationship to nature, right? Folks at home listening won't be able to see this, but I'm holding my romero, my rosemary plant right now.
I love that. You're just like giving her a big sniff, a kiss. Like, I was like, that is beautiful.
Yeah, just like really connecting to nature and reminding myself that I am nature. We all are. We all are part of nature. And being in it kind of brings me back into my body and reminds me that like, I have a purpose here. I have something to do here. I have a purpose that's going to require me to use my voice. Because just like in the beginning of this interview, you read me my bio, and it's still sometimes really hard to accept that this is my reality, you know, that this is the work I'm doing and that this is the route that I've taken in life. But I couldn't imagine doing it any differently because I, like I said, I love everything that I do, and everything that I do does stem from me having to use my voice, not just physically opening my mouth and making vibration and making sound, but actually saying the things that are true for me. And in order to do that, you have to know what's true for you, right? And so it's been a long journey of like self-discovery and self-mastery where I'm having to like peel away my own conditioning, whether it was from the church or from my parents or from, you know, generations of oppressive systems like patriarchy and like racism and sexism, and find out what is true for me. And for me, what's true is that I value myself and I value the relationships that I have. And overall, I just really want us to like live peacefully. You know, I want us all to have peace of mind so that we can tap into our gifts and we can tap into creativity and we can tap into pleasure and joy and all those wonderful, delicious, yummy things that light us up and make us feel good rather than the alternative.
It's all so resonant. It's all so juicy. It's a beautiful invitation. And I think like so many of us, I'm sure, can just relate to your story in different parts, in different pieces. And, you know, I know there's a lot of people who DM me and message me are exactly grew up, whether they were children of immigrants or just grew up with some sort of housing insecurity or something that's like, you don't realize how much that lives in your body for your whole life. And then what you said about the Catholic school thing, then I'm like, okay, well, if someone didn't relate to that, then another wave of people were just probably nodding along of like Catholic school or some sort of, you know, purity culture, some sort of like religious trauma, like every part of your story. But this like the coming back and your journey and just like the brilliance of your expression is just one of those things that just is the testament to this work. And I love that you have your rosemary with you, like literally like a cat, like curled up on your chest. I don't have a plant. I have like a clementine on me. So I'm like, I also want to just rub myself in something from nature while I'm watching you. Okay, so That is, you know, I appreciate always hearing, again, like I'm always interested in how we get to, how we arrive somewhere, especially when we're doing stuff that's multidimensional, especially when we're doing the things that aren't exactly like the career track that a high school guidance counselor can offer us. Can you tell us a little bit about, you do so much beautiful work, but something that really stood out to me on your website was this vocal liberation guide. You know, on here it says, I help people of color reconnect to their highest selves using my signature voice journaling framework, facilitating a supportive mentorship community and creating a safe and supportive space for folks to explore their individual journey to self-love and compassion. And, you know, I live in this world of the soul work, the spiritual work, but I was like, I don't know if I've ever come across a vocal liberation guide. But when I saw it, I got this feeling like straight from my head, my belly to my yoni of like, hell yes, we got to talk about this. So tell us a little bit about this work and what it entails. And yeah.
My signature vocal journaling practice is something that I stumbled upon in 2018. I was going through a major bouts of depression. Mm-hmm. I was like feeling lost and just unsure of like what my life's purpose was. Oh, yet again, I'm sure many of us can relate to like hitting that fork in the road where you're just like, what is next? What am I supposed to be doing with my life? Mm. I wasn't feeling inspired. I'm a writer. I write poetry. I write music, but I just wasn't writing at the time. And so I decided to just start recording myself talk. I was also doing it because I was trying to learn Spanish and I needed to be able to practice. So I would start every journal with the date and the time in Spanish. Hoy es el 22 de junio. Son las, you know, whatever time it is, once. Obviously, my Spanish is not very good, so I still need to practice. But that was kind of the practice. And then I would just start talking and I would just kind of express myself. And that wasn't hard for me. I can talk. I enjoy talking.
I've seen your Gemini placements. I know.
The challenging thing for me was actually going and listening back. Because I had such a challenging relationship with my voice, because my entire life I was told that my voice sounded like a boy, that it was deep, that it was ugly. It didn't fit the box of which women should sound like. That's pretty much the message I got a lot growing up from boys, from like men that are insecure with their own masculinity. And then as I started to come home to myself more, I realized like I do have masculine qualities, and that's actually what makes me really fucking powerful. Aside from the feminine ones too, but the combination is very powerful.
Funny that those men didn't like that. Interesting. So it's interesting the things that men don't like. And you're like, that's the direct source of my power. Interesting.
Right? Interesting. Let me take note of that red flag. Yeah. So I started to do these journals and I would listen back periodically. And what I was finding were like gems of wisdom that I was channeling through my journaling sessions. Things that were inspiring songs and things that were inspiring writing and things that were inspiring action in my life. What I did was I put together like an ebook and a course, and that's something that folks, if they're interested in, you know, trying, it's just kind of like a guide to help people, you know, practice the act of voice journaling. And again, going back to the emphasis on listening back, can you listen to your own voice with love? Can you listen to your own words with compassion? Mm. Or are you going to filter your voice through all the horrible things people have ever told you? Like, shut up, you have nothing important to say. You're just a kid. What do you know? Like a lot of this messaging comes from childhood too, right? And then kind of stems out into like our adult relationships a lot of times. So that was my journey with my voice. And I still voice journal to this day. You know, sometimes like I'll find myself alone and I want to like talk to someone to distract myself. I don't want to be alone with myself. But what voice journaling does for me is it allows me to have an intimate space where I can be alone with myself and where I can even go back and listen to what was alive for me at that time. So it's really special.
That is so special. And I really appreciate this on a few levels, and I'm just going to mirror things back to you. I'm someone who I've never been formally diagnosed, but like, let's be honest, neurodivergent AF. I cannot sit down and journal. Like I just woo, like, uh-uh. But I still need to self-reflect. And I actually, one of the reasons I love even like doing spiritual work is I would get downloads for myself, like processing for someone else. And I'm like, hold on. I'd like literally be like, I gotta go write something down. So I started doing something just similar, not with any like as much clarity and guidance as you, but of just like talking things out when I need to on a voice note. And sometimes I won't even like, I'll like do left hand or right hand. I won't even listen sometimes, but you're giving me good inspiration of how to go deeper with this practice. But I appreciate that invitation that like journaling isn't for everyone. Sitting down on a meditation cushion, like all these things, we have to acknowledge we're all so different. And I also just love this like kind of like keeping yourself company and being your own confidant, your own sounding board, your own sacred witness. There's something to that. And I know a lot of people listening are voice note baddies because we like go back and forth on like DMs or my clients, like we have Voxer. And there's something really powerful also about hearing something in your own voice. And it's also why I love reading people's bios in the beginning, because like there's something about out loud. There's something about the resonance, the voice. And I have my own like kind of confession. I like never listen to this podcast again that I do with people. Sometimes the guest episodes I have to listen to because there's something so good in there. But my solo episodes, I've never listened to one. I won't listen to when I do another podcast interview. And I think I still have some sort of block around that a little bit. Like I think hearing your own voice or just being like, I just hear myself talk all day. I'm sick of it. But while you were talking, I was like, that's an invitation for me to deepen my own practice and my own like self-acceptance or whatever it is. Because as you were talking, I was like, okay, clearly there's something to go deeper in there. And I just have to shout out the work you do is so beautifully expressed. My last note is just this Mercury in Taurus, which Taurus is very connected to the voice and our heart. So that's like how you were meant to communicate, but also like through beauty and through the earth and like, you know, you having your rosemary and being connected to nature. But I really love this like Mars, Jupiter, Gemini that you have kissing each other up in your chart, that like your fuel and how you move through life is such, yeah, Mars and Gemini energy. Like you want to talk, you want to connect. And I always tell Mars and Gemini people, that's how they have to like get unstuck, is usually externally processing something. So I just love that you like figured this out, you dropped in, and now you're helping other people do it. Because, you know, when I first saw that, I was like, oh, maybe that's like a voice teacher. Like I was thinking like singing. And then I like started reading more and I was like, oh, like different energy.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of what I do as a vocal guide is like help people tap into their own voices, like even if they're not singers. You know, a lot of people are really uncomfortable with like making sound, with like literally opening. It's important that we visualize, like open your mouth and say the thing or make the sound. Even the way that we operate day to day, like I'm the first to like, if I get scared, I'll make like weird noises. You know, I'm like, you know, like just like at, and people will look at me like, what is wrong with you? You know, but I'm like, that is my true expression. If I'm like caught off guard or I'm reacting to something. And I think that too, like as a young person, also being neurodivergent and not really understanding what that means, like for a lot of us, that means like getting the feelings out, because I grew up always feeling so overwhelmed with emotion. And I know now that it's a gift. And that it's a, you know, a practice of being able to set energetic boundaries and things like that. But as a child, I didn't understand it. And it was really overwhelming. And my caregivers were not, they didn't have the permission themselves to express themselves. So of course, my expression was triggering to them. And so I was often silenced and told, you know, I'm too sensitive, or I'm too loud, or I'm too reactive. And those messages can really break our spirits when we are expressive people, when we are creative people, when we're also like coping with, you know, trauma and the way that it lives in our bodies. So I now see my vocal liberation work as a really great way to release trauma and release somatically through vibration, through the voice. But also we know, and you mentioned this earlier when you said that you had that connection of like throat, heart, yoni, like there is a connection, right? There is a connection between our sacral area and our throat chakra. And for a lot of us, it closes up, you know, when we are not feeling safe to express ourselves and we don't feel like what we can say will be well received by the people that we're expressing it to. So it's kind of goes hand in hand with like my sexual liberation work, you know, because as we're tapping into more of the sacral energy and moving our bodies and encouraging like daily movement as medicine, we're opening up channels to express ourselves more fully through the voice. And that's exactly what I've been doing as I've been working on my own music too, you know, just like channeling all these messages from the ancestors, even from generations back, that now are ready to come through.
Oh, I'm so excited to talk about that channeling. First, you know, it's very interesting. We're talking about this yoni voice connection. And there's something, because you help people who birth, it was like, you know, is one of your multi-dimensional roles. And so I'm thinking about, I'm like, yeah, that work that you're doing is so connected to the throat, because there's the real earthly realm of like, how do you advocate in the medical setting, especially for women of color, especially for people who are birthing of color, like that's huge. But also I think about like the orgasmic cries and howls and like how at least I want to be in the birthing room one day of like, I'm not going to be chill. Like I need to be like letting out guttural primal yells and a TMI moment, but like I'm very loud in the bedroom because I think that's one of the places that's how I experience pleasure. It's like, and I'm like you, I'm making noises all day. Like if you see me stressed out in Penn Station, I'm going, because I just want to like release that out of my body. And so I'm like, wow, is that like, obviously there's so many reasons, moments you probably had these aha, but is that like, yeah, birth work to yoni to voice connection? Like, is that where you kind of developed another deeper understanding of this?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was just with a birth client last night and yeah, she was moaning away, and like to witness someone in that space who's coping through this really intense discomfort through surges, through contractions, but they kind of just know instinctively that they just open their jaw and like release vibration. It's so powerful. It's such a great coping mechanism. It also helps us tap into pleasure, right? It helps us intensify orgasmic energy. And it makes me think about all the years before I did this work where I wasn't enjoying myself sexually because I wasn't fully expressing myself when I was in the moment, because I was afraid that I would sound weird or the person I was with wouldn't like how I sounded or the noises that I made. And ever since I've been doing this work, when I am, you know, intimate with someone and I'm allowing myself to have the time of my life, my sexual sensations are amplified because I'm like, again, working with my body to move that energy through all the delicious, beautiful, yummy places that, you know, it needs to go to make me feel good and tap into pleasure.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love that. Just like how you had the people who, the guys who were not it, who are like your, which I don't even know what they're talking about. I mean, your voice, like we both have, I guess, sort of like raspier voices, but I'm here for that. Like 100%.
That's part of why I love you, Maddie. I love your voice.
The raspy
voice. It's so comforting
voice.
To me. And also like, when you get really like really low and like very whispery and very close to the mic and you're just like, uh-huh. And I'm just like, yes, yes, yes. Tell me more.
Yes. Oh my gosh. We got to do a whole ASMR energy report. Be like, now Saturn is doing this.
Yes.
I remember having such a moment of shame around something similar, but different. My college, post-college boyfriend, former fiance, didn't work out. I remember like being loud or moaning or things in the bedroom, in the throes. And I'd be like, oh my God, like, oh my God, stop. Like, that's like, oh my God, I'm being so loud. And even in my childish, ignorant, early 20s ways, even I knew, I was like, that's weird. That's a red flag. And so now being with a partner who's like louder, more like, love it. Like, it's just like the best ever. I'm like, yeah, like why? And I remember thinking like, but I didn't like know right away. I just kind of was like, okay. And I kind of internalized it for a little bit. So just want to like shout out to, again, if anyone's ever gone through that experience, like that's on them. Just like we talked about, like the things that directly connect us to our power are the things that the wrong people, especially men, will be threatened by, will try to dim your light on because they don't, you know, understand it, or they kind of understand on some level that it's very powerful, but don't know what to do with it. I just love this vocal liberation work, but I do want to talk about your music, honey. What are we channeling from the ancestors? I know, obviously, we have some hot new single dropping, but let's just talk about your music in general for a second, because I lost my form here because I'm getting excited to see Neurodivergent Brain. But you called it feeling music?
Yeah, I really pride myself on being able to write music that taps into emotion, you know, that oftentimes brings on tears. I think about how many of us, maybe not us here in this space, but how many people in the, you know, the wider world who are not in, they're not in relationship to their emotions. They're very much cut off and numbed to their emotions. And so I really enjoy writing from my heart, from my soul, and sharing music that makes people feel something, whether it's like tapping into the story they're listening to in my song, or thinking about their own loved ones or their own experiences. Right now I have 2 singles out. They are both what I call like intergenerational healing and feeling music, because they're encouraging us to take a look at the ways that like our parents or our ancestors and what they've gone through affect us, you know? But also like coming from a place of empowerment of like, here's how we can do better. The first song is Mother. I put that song out last year around Mother's Day, and it features 4 generations of my family. It starts with my grandmother's voice, who is no longer with us. It talks about like how my grandma's relationship with my mom's relationship with me, and then me and my daughter's relationship. It's really special. I featured my daughter on the track. She helped me write one of the verses for her part, and so she sings on it as well. And so it's a feel good song. It has a powerful message, but it may make you cry, and I hope it does, because that means you need to release something.
I'm crying. We predicted there'd be tears. Just you talking about that has my Cancer rising sun in the 4th house, just self in tears thinking about that. Just feeling like, again, the feeling music. Oh, that's beautiful. This is so fun to me, why I'm so lucky to do what I do, because, you know, I am but a mere mortal. There's a lot of gifts I don't have. The gift of music, I am a deep appreciator of music. I love to dance. I don't have a lick of musical talent in me at all. But I always thought about, if I had musical talent, I was like, music is a spell. Music is such a channeled, like, art. I think it's one of the things that really brings us so close to spirit. And it's back to religious trauma, why I was so into like my weird church. I'm like, this is weird. I don't like the message. But then they play a worship song and I'd be like, oh, I feel God in this place. And it's like, you know, it's like what always gets me, my Virgo brain can get a little detached, a little hardworking, and all of a sudden put on a song and I'm like, back into sexy mode, or back into sobbing mode, or back into like stomping it out, like sacred rage mode. And I'm like, God damn music, like it's so good. But I remember years ago, everyone was all hyped up on, and no shade to Beyonce, obviously love you, Beyonce, bae, whatever. But like, they were so hyped on, there was some album, it was Lemonade, and it was beautiful, obviously the whole thing, like no notes. But I remember thinking like, everyone was so hyped on it. And this is so like bad of me to think this, but I was like, oh, another like the main track, I was like, oh, like a breakup, jealous. I'm like, honey, Beyonce, like you're a channel for like divine feminine wisdom. Like what, like, and obviously like now I think she has stepped into more of that embodiment, but I always thought about, I would love to write music that like connected people into, yeah, like spirit, the great mother, to their higher selves. And again, like if you're going to walk around with a song in you all day, like what is that song telling you? What is it seeing in you? What is it inviting out in you? And so I love, like, so I got all welled up with tears. I was like, I want to make a song like that one day. It won't sound good, but it'll be just for me and my family. So that's so beautiful, so cancerizing of you. And then now, like, your new single, a little different energy. Can we talk about, can we talk about Deadbeat Daddy? Because I need to hear about this song. Yeah.
Yeah. So Deadbeat Daddy is a song that I've been developing for years. I actually thought of the idea prior to becoming a parent myself. The idea actually came from my sister and I, who have different dads, kind of like talking shit about our dads one day. We were just like, God, they're just like not the kind of people like we would want to be with, you know, like, and we were just like reflecting and just kind of joking around. And we were like, wouldn't it be funny to like make a song called Deadbeat Daddy, where we're just like, you know, like taunting them in a way. I kind of put the idea away for a while. And then more recently, I just felt like the spark of inspiration. And I am going through my own challenges with my child's father. But I've reached a point where I'm like, I don't care anymore. Like I have something to say and I need to say it. And I'm not just saying it for myself, but for all the unpartnered parents, all the single parents, all the moms, all the femmes, all the non-binary and birthing people that tend to take on the unpaid and often ignored labor of raising children. You know, I've heard people say that it's invisible labor, but it's not invisible. We are very aware. We all see it, you know? So not valued. And
oh,
so often,
God.
Like,
sorry, I love your way with words.
Yeah, like, so often, like, men who dip out, they don't have any consequences, you know, there are no consequences. And we're all so used to seeing that. And so I channeled this song as a form of empowerment and expression of saying, like, hey, enough is enough, like, cut the shit out. We are coming for you. We are going to call you out. We are going to tell you, like, stay the fuck away from us if this is how you act. To me, it's like a warning sign for men or for people who, like, have sex and don't own up to the consequences of that.
Mm-hmm.
And also it's a message for those of us who like men or like are open to, like, you know, being intimate with men, to also raise our standards, right? To acknowledge, like, if they're displaying these characteristics, number one, boundaries.
Yeah.
And number two, like, put out that energy of, like, don't come around here with all that bullshit.
No.
You know, like, we're not settling for that anymore.
Right. We're not going to be quiet with our voices because, again, back to that single mother thing, back to all this stuff, it creates this culture of, like, shame. Like, I'm going to hold this on my own. Or can I get to be so brave? I don't want to complain about this. Like, I'm, you know, there's all this, like, conditioning that just keeps you whoop, quiet. And then the bad behavior just keeps bad behavioring. And you're over here like, and I like this. Like, it's not invisible labor. We all see it. First of all, we're here and we're going to call you out. I love that. It's giving me, like, I don't know. I got a little, like, guard dog, like, deterrent mode. Like, stay away. We will bite your ass.
Exactly.
And bark about it if you cross this line. Like, I love this so much.
Yes. And so one thing I wanted to share about that in the production of the song that was really special is that I had mostly all femme musicians helping record the song. And we had this amazing group of horn players who came in and played their horns. And they also did some vocals on the track as well. And so it's just like a very, like, femme-centered project that I'm really proud of. And I'm getting a really great response. People are loving the song. I think it really hits home for a lot of people. But even people who have positive relationships with their fathers, like, everyone knows a deadbeat daddy.
No,
you know what I mean? And
literally,
the song is a warning not to be a deadbeat daddy.
I love that. I love that you be warned energy. And two things. First of all, that's so cool. I know very, you know, I don't know a lot about the music industry, but I have some clients and friends who are in it. And I think that to say you had mostly all femme working on it, that's a big deal from what I understand about the demographics of the industry and the representation there. So shout out to that. And that's why it's magical. And also it's like, well, if astrology isn't real, then why are you a Cancer rising making feeling music? And just literally me hearing about your music, when you talked about the horns, I got, like, full body chills. Nipples are hard. Like, I'm not even hearing it yet, and I'm feeling it. God damn, she's good. I literally got full body chills when you said that.
I love it. Well, yeah, because horns are in your face. It's like, we're here to say something. Like, we have a message, and you're going to fucking listen to it, okay? And the beautiful thing I love about this song is that it's sexy. Like, even though it's a heavy topic, like, it's sexual.
Make
it's
it
sensual.
Sexy.
It's like, you know, we're talking about, like, men who don't own up to the consequences of having sex. Yet why do I want to take my clothes off to the song? You know?
Well, that's what I love. It's like, I also love it too. Like, I can still be sexual, raw, erotic while having this. And again, just showing you more of, like, what you're missing. Like, again, like, I always think about the witches in my life. It's like, we're not going to curse you if you've been wrong. We're just going to pull away all this light and magic and sexual energy, and you're going to be left in the cold, in the dark, honey. Like, stop. So I love this energy. I love these two songs. How cool to have the mother, like, and the deadbeat daddy. And, like, again, just two ends of the spectrum that we're, like, probably all of us are walking around so influenced by, consciously or subconsciously.
Yeah, I'm like, who's next?
I was gonna ask you, do you have any hits or anything, a feeling of what's next? Or
So I'm writing music. A lot of my work has slowed down, like all my other work has slowed down, because I am really focused on writing music right now, and I'm looking forward to performing live and touring in the near future. So I'm really focused on, like, again, going back to channeling what is true for me and who else is in me but my ancestors. You know, I really feel like in releasing these songs, it's one thing to, like, write a song and then record it, but, like, it's another thing to, like, share it and get it out into the world and for it to impact people. And I really feel like it's not just my ancestors that are that are coming through, but it's everyone's, you know, it's like these messages from yesteryear that are still repeating themselves. And I'm hoping that these songs invoke some positive change in the ways that we relate to each other.
I love this. When she said vocal liberation work, there's layers, there's meanings to this. It's the individual, but it's also the collective. And everyone has to go definitely check out the song, but also your website has so many fun talking about that exact thing of like affecting meaningful change. You know, I saw you did a song, Stay Alive, for, it says like to your, you know, Black folks, Black family. I saw you doing a version of Mother at the Bernie Sanders 2020 campaign. I was like, is this a, well, I'm obsessed with this human. And then of course, Fleetwood Mac cover, because forever Fleetwood Mac. I know, I'm like, just literally even on your website, I was like, is this like love at first sight, like love at first musical sight? So I, whatever this energy is, and whatever the truth that you want to channel next and really like bring down to the earth plane next for us, we'll be very excited and very honored. So in terms of like, oh, also I didn't even mention it because I'm so hyper, but like your North Node in Pisces, what I really love about your chart, and for anyone listening and wanting to kind of like learn about their own chart, I think about the signs of like creative expression. I really think about Gemini, Leo, and Pisces. Gemini is like the word witch, the communicator, the mystic messenger, the gift of gabs, you know, spell casting. And then I think about Leo is like the energy that wants to create, to be witnessed, to be seen, to heal the inner child, but to invite us all to be in more light and play and pleasure and like in that performance mode. And then I think about Pisces as the archetype that's just like here to create, but like to channel and also to create something that like source and spirit, right? And the divine like can't come down and tell us. So it'll channel through music and something that helps us feel more unified, right? And that unconditional love and that unity consciousness that we so need. So your chart is very much, I already went over, like we talked about your Leo moon, we talked about your double Gemini, but you have your North Node, your destiny line is in Pisces. And sometimes for people, that's I get a lot of questions about that one because it's a little abstract. And you have your Pisces midheaven like me. So with your North Node here, I just think it's such a beautiful, when you talk about this work, just being so channeled, and all of your work feels that way, but specifically your music. So I just wanted to say thank you for modeling that so beautifully for us.
Thank you, Maddie. It's an honor. It's an honor to be read by you and just to share this space with you. You make so many of us feel so safe and so warm and cozy, and like we're just hanging with a girlfriend and it's like sleepover vibes forever. So I love it.
How'd you know my favorite thing in the world is a sleepover? I love it. Let's prank phone call the patriarchy and braid each other's hair. Okay, I love that. And so let people know, obviously we'll drop all the links for the music, of course, and for, I know, the vocal liberation work. You have a beautiful like self-guided journaling experience that people can purchase from you. But in terms of if anyone wants to work with you in any other capacity or see you live or do something else, let us know. How can people find you and collaborate and co-create with you?
Yeah. So I'm pretty active on Instagram. You can find me there at the Multidimensional Mami. Mami is spelled M-A-M-I. Yeah. You can email me at hi@vaneliaarechiga. My website's a little long, so if you want to just go to the link in my bio and like send me a message through there, that would be just fine. But yeah, if you go to the link, you'll find everything as well, like all of my offerings, all of my music, all of my work. Yeah, I hope to connect with some of the baddies here. It's so exciting to tap into this community that I've been part of for so long, listening as a listener.
Yeah, it's so fun. I know. And how we even connected is you wrote one of the most hilarious ratings and reviews for the podcast of all time. It's like, I forget what it was. It was like, that is not bad for a white lady or something like that. It was like,
No. I said, this is the only woke white girl podcast that I will listen to.
Yeah.
And I stand by that because I think you do a great job, Maddie, at like naming your privilege and showing up as your true self and always being willing to learn more. And I really value the fact that you put a call out to bring in more people of color to be on the show. And so I jumped at that opportunity to connect with you in that way. And I hope to connect with your community as well. And I know that we have a lot that we can learn from each other. So I'm grateful. And yes, I appreciate that you appreciate my humor and my writing. my writing style.
I love your writing. It cracks me up. I'm obviously crying because you really got me in the feels in this podcast, but I just appreciate that and receive that and just really do. I'm so grateful. And there's just no better reflection back that I want to hear about like the attempt of work that I'm doing in the world, but really it's been so fun because like, this is amazing. I'm so happy you reached out. This was great and like juicy and grounding and energizing all at once. So everyone go give Danae, like, you know what I say. If someone comes here and dedicates their time, their energy, their medicine, their wisdom for free, then you got to go give her some love, like shout out them and go in the DMs, like whatever, let them know your favorite part of the podcast. And is there anything else that you just want to say in closing? Anything else you just want to circle back to or drop here?
Before I got on this recording, I pulled an oracle card from one of my favorite oracles called the Modern Spiritual Latina Oracle by Esoteric Essa, who's a friend of mine and another astrologist. Amazing work. Check them out. And the card that I pulled, which I thought was very fitting, was Cosmic Sisterhood.
Stop.
Yes. It says finding spiritual community, patterns, sisterhood, intersectional feminism, and starseed lineage.
Oh.
And so this is me and you, Maddie. We're building this cosmic sisterhood.
I'm excited
to meet all of our other brujas and sisters and our starseed.
Oh my God. Again, the chills, the nipple of heart again. That's an amazing card. Okay. We got a link. If that's available to purchase, we also got to link it in the show notes.
For sure.
The
for
card
sure.
is gorgeous. Oh, honey, you know how you... You must be in entertainment. You know how to have a mic drop moment. You know how to leave the stage. Danae, thank you so much for coming on, everyone.
Thank you
for listening.
Thank you. Much love to you all.
Do you love getting your Cosmic RX for the week here and want more? Make sure to sign up for our premium subscription so you can get exclusive access to bonus podcast episodes, all of my astrology info for the month ahead, and live new and full moon calls to help you manifest your dream life with an intentional international community of other cosmic baddies. Sign up through our link in show notes.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you want to know more about Cosmic RX, head on over to thecosmicrx.com. And if you really love this show, I'd love it if you left a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. I super love hearing from you and reading your reviews. All right, you cosmic baddie, tune in next week. And until then, remember, love yourself fully, work your magic, and take no shit.